At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 481. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffey is with me in an absolutely scorching Las Vegas. Still, if you can believe it, under an excessive heat warning, where it is 107 degrees today. It's going to be 108 on Friday, if you can believe that, Cole Coffey. 10 degrees above normal for this time of the year. Summer is here, and it ain't going anywhere, and yeah, it's hot.
It's hot. It's hot. It really is. I mean, like, even it's funny. The dog, when I let the dog out, the dog's like, no, can I just pee inside?
Like you can't even get mad at him. You're like, bro, it's like, fine. I get it. You can do it. Go ahead, just pee on the floor, bro. I'll wipe it up.
I get it. Yeah, it's crazy. I still got my steps in this morning, but I think by the time I got out there, got back to the house by, I want to say just before 8 o'clock, and it was already, I think, 90 degrees or something. And I was just like, It's getting warm.
16
out there.
Years, baby, but it's still a little hot in the summertime. There's no doubt about it. You know, we're basically like the Las Vegas Visitors Convention Bureau. Like, we want people to come here all the time, but it is toasty right now. So, yeah, stay cool, stay hydrated, my friends. Past weekend, off the top, I got to give an apology to all my friends over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. Did not get the half episode done. Got a little depressed. I got a little down, dude. I got a little sad. I got a little upset, yeah. To be honest with you. It's just what I figured out is when I'm working and doing commentary at a gig somewhere and it's like overlapping at the same time, like it's just impossible because it was literally on at the exact same time. I was doing Fight League Atlantic out in Halifax, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, actually. Chris Kalaitis came out of the broadcast booth, got the win. It was a very hard-fought win, but he did fight to win in his retirement fight. And at 43 years old, I think when he was done, he said, that is definitely it. I am not going back in there again. I'm glad I did this, but I'm not doing it again. But then when we got done, like, it was literally the exact same time as the UFC fights. So then I was like, all right, well, I gotta watch the UFC. Start watching the UFC, and I think I messaged you. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning Atlantic time, and I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be able to get this done. And then had to wake up, go to the airport. I was like, you know what? I'll get it done in the airport. Inevitably, same thing that happened last time, got delayed again. So I'm like, I'm going to get this done in my layover, get delayed, sitting on the plane, can't get it done. So I don't know, man. I guess we got to get the staff together and have a big production meeting, brainstorming meeting, and figure out what we can do. Because obviously, everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, I want to deliver on the and a half episodes. But when I'm doing it again this weekend, I'm commentating again this weekend, and I'm doing Friday and Saturday night, and I've got like an early flight home Sunday. When I get home on Sunday, my wife and kid already have plans for me because it's Father's Day and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like a bunch of excuses. I don't want it to sound like a bunch of excuses.
Sounds like your vagina picked the phone back up and is tweeting again or texting.
But I got to figure it out. But the good news, what I was going to say is after this week, I don't have another show until July 26th.
Yeah, because it's never a problem when you're here in Vegas.
Never a problem.
It's just on the road. And like I think everybody understands. In fact, I think I told you if I didn't, Fellows hit me up. He's like, yo, what's up with JM? What's going on?
Oh, did he?
And I was just like, bro, I was like, and I explained the travel thing, you know, and I think all of our listeners, I think everybody gets it, you know, and understands. I'm fine. And I'm sure everybody else is fine. Even if we pivoted, like granted, this Sunday is kind of a fluke because of the Father's Day thing. But even like maybe on Monday or whatever. I mean, granted, this isn't going to be this. I know we say this card, every card is worth looking at, you know. But I mean, I definitely think it's warranted. I mean, I think even if we just get it out, it's just I know your Mondays have been busy because you do that other podcast with that other guy.
Let's not make it awkward or anything. But yeah, I could do Mondays. I could. This one's weird. Just, we got to figure it out. Anyway, I want to know. What I want to say is, I'm sorry to everybody, and I know it's not like an audience of millions was disappointed. But you know me, man. I like to deliver, right? I make a promise and I like to deliver. And I literally was like sad and like kind of a little depressed or whatever. I'm like, man, can I not do this anymore? Like, what's going on? And like literally was having like those kind of thoughts. And then I realized, John, realistic expectations. People are going to understand.
Yeah.
It's just when you're working and then you, and that's the thing is I could probably just cheat and like skim through all the stuff and make just some random, you know what I mean? But I actually want to watch the fights and I want to listen to the commentary and I want to make sure I'm giving my honest opinion. And it's just hard. So, this week will probably not happen. Or Sunday, pause. We just put a pause on everything for a second. If we could for one more week, let's put it on pause.
And I'm down. Like, even if we, you know, we talked about whatever things, I mean, if we could figure out some way to make it even easier, even if it's just a, you know, I was thinking we could do something live after the fact, like early in the week or something, if it just makes it easy. But I know everybody likes the podcast format and likes being in an audio format or something. But I think people understand. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got to take a pause, I mean, like, I think people understand it. And we'll just send them out some nudes or something to make up for it or something. Those long-promised nudes that we've never got around to doing.
That's what I really make up for. So, I guess, long story short, let me just say I apologize to everybody. I will make this up to you, I assure you. And it weighed heavy on my shoulders. I do not take my responsibility to deliver to you guys lightly. So
it's a good problem to have. I mean, you're busier than ever, you know, which is
crazy.
Cool. You
it's
know,
crazy.
Which is good. But like you said, it's only a problem if you're on the road and those crazy, especially those international trips and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Like Halifax was long enough that you know, it wasn't bad. But like the Belgium trip was long and just, you know, going to the East Coast. But anyway, yeah, the time gets – because it's late. Atlantic – they're actually 1 hour past Eastern time zone. So I'm trying to watch these fights. It's like 3 a.m. I'm like, dude, I'm falling out. Like, I have no energy left. Like, there's no – I was in the prelims, and I was like, I can't get through this card. Like, I'm – like, once again, props to everybody over in Europe that's been finding a way to do this for somehow for the whole time, because I was just – my eyes were closed, and I was like, bro, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this.
Dude, midnight hits on the clock. I'm just like, I'm either have already – taking a nap on the couch and falling asleep. Like when I'll sometimes wake up when I'm watching like TV, I'm like, I'll look at the clock and think it's like 3 a.m. and it's like literally midnight. I'm like, when did I fall asleep? So I get it. Like once the clock starts getting near that part, I'm out. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough to perform, you know, and let alone think about and give like real sort of analytical thoughts on something, as opposed to just sounding like blah, 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 you know, or snoring, which is what I usually do at that time. But we'll get it figured out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll definitely figure it out.
Like I said, we'll call the staff together. We'll get everybody the
I'll
input.
I'll start drafting that email right now.
If you could get that on a chain, that'd be nice. Send that around. BCC, everybody. All right. Speaking of this past weekend, I did want to get your take because I know that you got to go see. I wanted to go see the Apex set up in a WWE NXT environment, but my flight got back too late to make it. You got to go see it. I saw everybody online, both some people that were in the building and also some people that were watching on TV. They were kind of like raving about the setup and they just loved what WWE did with it.
Apex fights would be so cool like this. Like, I'm like, these fucking people.
Okay, so tell me, so talk to me about this. What did you think about the setup? And yeah, it was weird, right? Because remember when the Apex was built, we took the tour, right? And we remembered hearing that, hey, man, you know, they think they can fit like 1,500 people in here or whatever. But as the thing got going with UFC fights, we started questioning, well, could you with the setup that you had, like, would you have room for everything? And so obviously, anyway, what was your experience with the WWE setup in person? And I guess, do you think it would be that easy for the UFC to go like, I mean – because here's what's – it's not like the WWE came in and set that up and the UFC was like, damn, we never thought of that. You know what I mean? What? More seats? What a brilliant idea.
Why didn't we ever think about
this? So I guess what was your experience like overall seeing it and just the entertainment value of it? And then is it something that you think the UFC could port over, or do you see the reason they haven't yet?
I mean, one, it was really, really impressive sort of just seeing, one, the seats that high up, you know, how it did sort of wrap around. But even when you watch the breakdown, you know, speaking to like, you know, hey, somebody had to have thought about this because they released the time-lapse video of them putting it together.
Right.
To see how the stage and the seating all fit together perfectly and then how they built it up, you could tell that somebody took the time and really had to plan out, like, how are we going to possibly set this stuff up? When you normally would walk and enter into that area where the octagon would be, once you walk through those drapes, it wasn't far before you actually started walking into the risers to start getting up, oh, wow. you know, and go. So there wasn't much room
outside.
So
not much clearance
at all. It's snug. Really it's very, tight. Very snug. But, you know, you've seen too, like where they have like the video screens that they already play perfectly work so that at the top of the seats, right there were those screens. So you could actually watch like the promo things, or you could actually see the layout of, you know, whatever sort of, you know, whether it was an NXT thing or whether it was the underground thing, they used the screens really nicely. So they didn't have to bring anything in to provide like what would normally be on screens, okay. like in arenas
so
and stuff.
Just,
they filled it out
existing
perfectly.
Existing stuff. Yep.
But in terms of the floor space itself, one, the ring is smaller than what the octagon is. So you
right.
could actually place it inside the octagon.
Yeah, yeah.
The octagon just has a bigger footprint on the outside. Where the boxing ring was, there's nothing on the outside of some stairs that will walk up to the corners on a couple of the spots where you
Whereas
see
the octagon has that huge platform
has the huge
ring
platform
around
that completely
it.
Wraps around, and then there's steps that walk up onto the platform. Yep. There's only these steps on two particular sides, or maybe even just one side.
It did look
way smaller,
so it felt significantly smaller as well.
The floor space was like non-existent. Like it was the walkway and a small path around the ring, and then on the corner opposite of the walkway is where the talent desk was, where Booker T
Five-time?
Was yeah and I don't know who the other guy was there with him were doing their commentary, and that was it.
Okay.
On a UFC event, you have all these chairs for the commission people, you have the media rows, which there's two rows, or actually like three rows
now, of media usually, yeah.
You know, and some of those are used by staffers, timekeepers, all that sort of stuff. But there were no, you know, whereas if it's a UFC
thing, the corner to be.
You need space for the corners. You need photogs. You know, there was no cameras around that initial thing. There were camera people on the ground shooting. They had a crane that was shooting the camera up on the top, but nobody sits up on the corner, the turnbuckles or any of that sort of stuff, whereas like in the octagon, you see him up sort of standing.
Oh, really?
These guys were all on the ground below shooting stuff, and it's all fucking script. It's a choreographed. All the guys were on headphones.
Yep.
Even the photog had like a headpiece on so they can really know when things are going to come, when people are coming on. Even there were points because they were using UFC security on the outside, and a couple times people ran in, and like you see every wrestling thing
right,
where
right.
like – observers would come run in and then jump into the ring. I'm thinking, like, luckily they told the UFC staffer so they didn't grab this dude trying to jump into the ring. So it was kind of fun watching that and just seeing, you know, and I'm sure the security got a kick out of that. And I was seeing those guys
sure
on top of someone,
fun.
And they were just
– they were having
you could
a
tell they were loving it. But in terms of, like, I don't know what the occupancy is, but I've never seen – a line as long. By the time I got there about 10 minutes before what was supposed to be start time, and I still was in a line that was wrapped all the way to the end of the building, and then it started slightly going around. I parked by where we used to have to park when there was a tent on the back side
of
the
far
apex,
side of the apex,
as far back as you can go. You know, like there was maybe just a few spots left. I was like, holy cow, like this is crazy. But it literally still took, and it was moving. There was moving, pause. It still took me 20-some minutes, maybe 20, 25 minutes to get inside the Apex, which sucked because it was kind of hot. So luckily
yeah.
it was like at 4:30, you know, by the time that this was happening. But they got in pretty decently. But it's hard for me to gauge how many people, in fact, were there. I'll have to ask, like, the PR team,
yeah.
see what they get. But it was a lot of people. They didn't look like they were crammed. Like, even though there was sort of the seats were tiered, obviously – it felt like, you know, they were just like the small little chairs, but they were side to side. So, I mean,
right.
like you were close to people, but it didn't feel like people were swarming over everybody. They allowed people to bring in their signs. So some people had signs and stuff. But it was fun. I mean, it was interesting. It was cool to see high-level fake wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the only thing that really sort of was like the letdown was obviously seeing the people that most people – on the MMA side were there to see, which is Shayna Baszler and Valerie Laredo.
Right.
Lola Vice.
So rather than have them be an actual wrestling event,
yeah,
they were
this
fake fight. Like it was an underground fight. But it's like we're used to seeing them really fight. So to see them pull punches and to do all this like choreographed like whack fighting it was just
kinda
like
weird.
But in, you know, and we chatted about this a little bit earlier. What made it a little bit better is if it was in complete silence and that we were watching this, I think everybody would have been like this is ridiculous. What are we watching? But to kind of bolster it up a little bit, they had these maybe 20, 25 people came out and surrounded the ring, which they had stripped down to a different looking ring than when the normal NXT wrestling, they removed the ring ropes and stuff, and it was just the beams and gave it this sort of like underground feel. They darkened the lights a little bit, but they were out and they were around the ring, and they're like beating on the ring and chanting and creating this sort of energy that as you're watching, you're like, okay, it kind of felt like you were more like better. Watching like an underground one. But the whole time I'm watching, I was like, man, I'm interested to see how they're going to edit this and how they're going to make it look. And I was like, isn't this still sort of like streaming live? I was like, but wrestling has a good way of like cutting, doing lots of quick cuts between cameras in different particular angles to make it look a little bit more exciting than what it really is. Because when you're there, you're like, this is ridiculous.
As you said, choreographed, and they know what they're doing. They've got that production.
They knew who
down.
Was going to win. They knew right. who was going to finish. You know, even when they ended it with Laredo, you know, throwing these crazy strikes, and then the ref comes in and stops it, and then Shayna sort of comes to, and she's grabbing the ref's leg like she was knocked out.
Okay.
I was like,
got a little ode to some MMA there. We see that happen,
like,
right?
I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, you got to actually make contact to fucking knock her out. But
you're supposed to just let yourself soak in the theater a little bit.
Yeah, and
you
know? That's it. You gotta. And
but
I
get what you're saying, though, right?
Because
we've seen them actually fight, so it would have been more fun to watch them, quote unquote, wrestle, right? Like do like you know. But maybe it's just because Laredo's still kind of new. Maybe
it has to be because when the very first wrestling match was this women's North American Championship or whatever, and they had six ladies go in there and wrestle, and these ladies fucking brought it. They were my favorite of the whole night. Like some of the guys that were doing their matches was really intense. It was really cool to see. This one guy was like a fucking giant, man. He was like Francis Ngannou, like times two. I think his name's like Obi something. Jeez. He's a reigning champ. Oh my God. He's fucking frightening. And the dude's like 20 some years old or something. He's scary.
Super athletic too.
Scary big. Yeah. But these ladies, man, they started the event with them and they were amazing. They had these ladders and they were literally slamming, pushing each other on the ladders. At one point they grabbed the four of them, picked up one of the ladies and threw her out of the ring onto one of the ladders and it bent the ladder. I was like, this is fucking nuts. And then you see the crowd was actually, this is crazy. This is crazy. You know, like,
it's fun. You know, you and I over the years have admitted we're not the biggest pro wrestling fans. Yeah. But obviously, you know, the times I've gotten to go because of Punk and Watch, it's fun.
Seeing high
fun,
level,
man.
Like high level ones. Yeah. I mean, you can't discount the athleticism and the fact that most of them are really putting their bodies in harm's. Like, if they don't do these things right, somebody's going to get fucking killed. Somebody's gonna really get hurt. Like it was scary.
That time I went to AEW when like Jake Hager was in like that hardcore match, and they were slamming tables and jumping off a lat, like
it's
stuff
nuts.
That you're like, okay, we understand this is all scripted, but like, there's no way that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like you have to be in pain.
It's brutal. It's brutal. But yeah, these ladies brought it, man. So yeah, I was like, ooh, I'm gonna find her account. I'm gonna follow her on Instagram.
So all right, so
but it was fun. It was
so
fun.
What was your take? Because I think you already kind of laid out like, because it was. I did see a lot of like, why doesn't the UFC do this? But I think you're taking a very realistic expectation of let's just talk logics. You know, logic here, logistics.
Yeah.
The size doesn't work. That sort of thing. So what do you think? I mean, do you think after that event? Do you think there's anything that the UFC can take from it?
They could probably go. They could go half that. Like, say if they decide to run the risers up one row, maybe even three quarters.
Yeah.
They need to have room for the things that are sort of out of the control. Like, we've all seen the UFC get we've seen the UFC get upset with how the commission kind of strong handles, and they want to have their amount of people there.
Yeah.
You're never going to get rid of them. They have to be there.
Right.
And there's always like 10 too many there.
There may be some states along the way that have been like, we need 30 tickets.
Yeah.
And it's like,
why? It's ridiculous. So like, you're always going to have that element out there. So you have to provide seating for that. They're not going to sit up in the stands.
Right.
Like, that's not going to work.
Right.
Dana has his people. Could they sit elsewhere? Yes, of course they could. But could they scrap the media?
Because he's got his own VIP section.
Because he's
and
got
all
a
that.
Section.
Yeah.
Could media be out of that room and in the media room? 100%.
They could.
There's no reason why media has to be out
100%.
There. So yes, they could take that away and maybe put part of some more seats. But in the current layout of what it showed that particular night, I don't see it being viable with some of the necessary things that the UFC has to. One, even just the way that the octagon, where the ring girls walk around, where the fighters walk up to, yep. where, you know, the intros yep. with that little thing. Part of that stuff would take up even the floor space as well. So, I mean, they're just the room. I think they could adjust it and have some sort of what they were doing there, but it just couldn't be that exact particular layout. I don't think they could fully wrap it like they did.
Dumb question. Were they doing like the VIP food and drinks and stuff like that? Like
there was
normal?
A VIP area, like but UFC. It was like in yeah, it's in the where it was in the normal like where the like weigh-ins are. The weigh-in areas and stuff.
I was just curious. I was just wondering how they were doing that. Like, I wondered if it was, like,
but all there was also, like, the box you could, like, bought to get into the sky box or yeah, whatever yeah. they call that little – where that upper bar is or whatever.
I just wondered if it was all-inclusive. I wondered, too, like, if the UFC, if part of their motivation is they only like having, like, the VIP ticket experience, you know what I mean? They don't want to put in more seats where then they feel like they have to do it at a lower revenue, although I don't know – how that would impact them, but maybe some, you know, how yep. they like to do that, right? Where they position it as a premium product, and yeah. so therefore there is more demand. You know, I don't, yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
I mean, they definitely have the tiers where I think there was the people that paid for the VIP, and then the as for the seats, I think there was the seats in the arena or whatever, and then the VIP was like an extra package that you could get onto it. And then I want to say like the skybox was an additional as yeah. well or something like that, but they didn't. It wasn't like, hey, you just pay this exorbitant amount and then you just have access to everything
yeah,
where
yeah.
we're only going to offer this one package, this yep. one deal. You either have to be a friends and family and then get tickets from the fighter or you buy this exorbitant package or whatever.
Interesting. Interesting.
It was fun seeing that many people crammed in there. It was
It'll be good to talk to Dana the first time we have access to him again. And see if there yep. was anything that he takes from it. Is there anything that they can change about the Apex? Although
I know I did not see him there.
I was gonna say I didn't hear that he made an appearance. Yeah, so I'm sure he at least saw everything and was aware of it. But
there was definitely some bigwigs from somebody. It was either WME or TKO because there were some people that were way overdressed for some professional wrestling.
Oh yeah,
that were sitting down there. I was like, and it was like 100 degrees outside. I was like. Yeah, this motherfucker ain't never had to sit out in the heat. I was like, who's this dude?
That's funny. He came in through the back. There's no yeah. question. Although, I guess right now, Dana White probably has more important things to be dealing with right
is there
now.
Going is
this,
on?
I'm trying to think. Is there a pay-per-view coming up?
Is there?
We got that big Hill versus Ullberg fight
oh, yeah,
coming
the
up
versus
at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. I hope they're doing working on that artwork.
I mean, this is the crazy story, right? Look, just put it all out there. I think all of us, the media, are hearing the same thing, which is more speculation than anything else. I have yet to hear anybody that really has a firm handle on exactly what's going on. I think we kind of laid it out, and we won't necessarily get all back into it again, but, you know, it seems very much to be either one of two things, which is contract discussions or injury. Conor McGregor goes to Instagram and posts a picture of him very clearly in a doctor's office, and it's like, well, that wasn't by accident, you yeah. know what I mean? And it's like, but then with him, he's so crafty and clever, you're like, well, is he posting that to show that, hey, man, he's an injury, but he's got a big smile on, so he's okay and he's cleared yeah. to go? Or is he, like, just posting it to make you think it's about an injury when really he's trying to hold up the UFC for money yeah. because he knows he's got all the power when it comes to this situation?
People didn't realize that was an OBGYN office. The pelvic ones?
Yeah.
That's because they're talking about how the baby comes out in between these sections. And he's just clowning people. He's like, just, oh, yeah, by the way, D's pregnant again.
We were just here for that visit. Yeah. That's all we're here for, man. What
like,
are
it's
you talking
a checkout.
About?
It's just a follow-up.
It's the craziest thing ever. I will say this. Roku better still be following them around behind the scenes right now. I better find out.
But it ain't Roku. That's all. If you look at the very end, it's all UFC staffers.
UFC. I know. It's fight. It was produced by the UFC.
But they paid for it.
But I'm hoping that cameras that we get the full story on this thing a year from now.
Yeah.
Because look, man, I'm not giving up total hope that it doesn't happen. I mean, I feel like Conor is the kind of guy that knows how big the market is, knows yep. how big the opportunity is, would fight if he was a little bit hurt. I mean, we knew the broken leg, you know, we found out later he knew going into it, like, hey, this is a real possibility, and he's like, I'll fight anyway.
Yep.
So I feel like he's the kind of guy that would show up, but I also feel like he's the kind of guy that knows what my market value is. You know, he's not just a businessman, he's a businessman, and he knows, you know, all the numbers. He has more access to the numbers, and man, you think about all the circles that he's been in and yeah. the things that he's been able to learn about business. you know, it wouldn't hold it up. You know, it wouldn't shock me if he's like, I know what my market value is to you, and I'm not going out there for anything less.
I just feel like, why would we still be at that point now? Like, you figure contracts have to be signed at this point.
This is true.
You know, like, you can't go off your – you can't just change a contract after. It's like you're breach of contract.
I agree.
You know, like, I just – I don't know. Maybe he was at the doctor getting another TRT shot or something, you know. Like, we don't know at this point. I still think, you know –
Well, certainly the independent drug testing.
Yeah. The fully independent drug testing that is not paid by the UFC would clearly, you know,
I'm
tell
gonna stand by my guns that they're shooting on the straight and narrow, that they wouldn't cover things up, but it needs a layer of transparency for everybody to be comfortable with it. There's no question about it.
I mean, 100%. I mean, I'd like to say, like, give us when he last tested. Don't just have these numbers just sort of go. Like, I want to see when fighters are being tested so we know when the last test was.
Right.
These numbers just show up and we just say, oh, okay, well, obviously it shows that he's been tested 10 times this year. You know, cool. Was that all in January? Was that all in February? Yep. Like, you know, when was the last negative test?
Was it the same sample you tested 10 times?
Like, yeah. Was
this
that the
one's
A
clean.
Sample?
Keep going again. Keep going again.
I mean, at this point, until you hear something, it's fair game to speculate. You know, I think people are clearly speculating on the fact that, you know, it's either contract or it's an injury. Hey, let's throw in that he's still pissing hot. Let's throw a third. Let's start a trifecta, you know. I mean, who knows? I mean, but yeah, I would like definitely, you know, until we just hear, like, clear things, like, maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of the dance is, like, you know, we just want to have silence so that people get talking, because if they're talking about it, they're interested in the fight. They're interested in the fight. Maybe they felt like it wasn't getting the interest, so Conor's like, I'm going to take it upon myself to create a little bit of drama, you know?
What's your gut tell you right now?
As for whether it happened or not?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm thinking no now.
Yeah, I am too. It's just too
wishy-washy for something so close.
Right.
It feels too wishy-washy. Boy, that'll really be a black mark on International Fight Week.
I know.
I mean, they were really, really selling that. That was the cornerstone of the International Fight Week. And when you start throwing last-minute fights, which, you know, look at 300, which was supposed to be the biggest, baddest thing, you know, and I'm like, oh, but we're going to throw a last-minute fight as the main event. I just feel like it's set a bad
100%. And there's,
know,
and
omen
to me,
for the future.
Well, and to me, there's – and it's crazy, right? Because we talked about it last week. Like, the show's going to go on. We know there will be a pay-per-view. There's 100%. No way they scrap the pay-per-view.
International Fight Week's
all going to happen. So all that's going to happen, right? And, you know, we joked about the fact that anytime Conor fights, it has title implications because he calls shots like no other, right? But realistically, this doesn't impact the rankings. It doesn't really, you know, impact title shots, those sort of things. Is there a fight that you could put together right now? I mean, name it. Maybe, there's no way this happens either, but would John Jones, Tom Aspinall be enough to get people to go, well?
It'd be enough, but Jones would never do it.
I don't know. Jones wouldn't do it. And like they're not going to pull Aspinall from Manchester.
From Manchester.
You know what I mean? Is there any fight at all that you could put
together?
It's
not one that people are going to be excited about. Shevchenko Grasso is the only thing I can think of that they could throw it.
Okay. There's fights
because
you can put together.
Because the sphere isn't – it might not even be Noche, even though people say it's going to be Noche. What if it isn't?
It has to be.
You would hope.
It has to be.
Because that's the whole point of what they're talking about weekend. You
that
know?
Would be – that would be
– but you never –
bro, that would be a huge swing and a miss.
But think about if they have to save this card and you have to, like, what other title fights are available?
But there's
right
now? No – I mean, that doesn't even come close. I mean, the only names that are in the sphere of Conor McGregor – in the sphere, I don't mean – in the
Izzy?
Circular influence, Izzy, Sean – Sean's not going to step in on a couple weeks' notice.
Yeah, it's way too quick.
You know what I mean? That's it, right? Those are the only.
Yeah.
Alex seems to be getting more like that. Is he?
He would jump in and take it. I just who's the right dance partner?
What about John Jones and Alex Pereira?
Jones, I bet would do that.
That would be sick. That would save it. Yep. That's. I mean, we're talking about crazy stuff now.
And John doesn't have to put his belt up for it.
Oh, he has to. Has to. It's for the heavyweight title.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, come on.
Then he's not doing it.
He wouldn't do it.
I don't think he'd put it up.
How about if it's for the double interim title? Bro, you're still undisputed champion. And we don't want to take away the interim title from over here. So it is the interim title at heavyweight. Okay, now that's fantasy matchmaking. But That would lessen the blow, right?
100%.
That would lessen the blow.
I mean, whatever people want to say about John sitting out and waiting for this, people absolutely love Jones fight weeks. They 100%. Absolutely. They will literally shit on him sitting out of it, and then as soon as he fights the next week, it's back to loving him. Because once he's there, it's hard not to love what he does and what he brings to the sport and how exciting his fights are. People will take it.
100%.
Like, people will take it. I mean, people just want to see him fight. It's the same thing with Conor. Whether it's for a belt or not, people just want to see the people that they respect in the sport and that have done shit that they're just like, I want to see this person fight before they're done fighting. You throw John Jones in there against option A, B, C, whether it's for a belt or not, people are going to clamor to see it because they realize that there is going to be a day, especially when we've seen years go by where we haven't seen him fight. People realize that it's, you can't take it for granted that we're going to see these people in the cage. So, I mean, do I think it could be possible? Sure, but John is so adamantly Stipe or nothing right now that it would be hypocritical for him to accept anything besides the Aspinall fight, which is the only one that makes sense. For him to go and do something else, like, okay, you're ready to take a short-notice fight to do this, dude, but you won't unify the belt? That don't make any damn sense.
How could you do that?
That don't make any damn sense. That then people would say, okay, now you're
you want to fight the light heavyweight.
Yeah,
you want to fight the light heavyweight that doesn't have grappling. That isn't a grappler. You want to fight the light heavyweight striker, but you wouldn't fight
people
him.
People would shit on it.
Yeah,
people would shit on him.
But it's crazy because, I was just trying to think of the craziest fight I could that would Conor Chandler is a crazy fight, right? It's not necessarily a title fight, and I just don't think there's any title fights right now that replace Conor. What's weird to me is I think if I could pick if John would step in there and let's say, hey, John. You're the contest winner. You get to pick the matchup for this, and I could pick either Pajeda or Aspinall. I think I'd pick Pajeda just because of the chaos and craziness of it.
And see someone just get slept.
To see something weird,
dude. It'd be interesting. What if we can get like Chael versus somebody or something? Chael versus Anderson.
Chael versus Anderson.
Run it back.
Bring it back.
Let's go.
Oh my goodness!
Are you
intrigued by Chael versus Anderson in boxing? By the way, is this doing anything for you?
I mean, I don't dislike it. I mean,
just like fun, right? Like
it's
fun. Like I don't really care. Like I'm down to watch it.
I mean,
and have
I know what we're gonna get from Anderson's side. I just want to see how much Chael's actually really been working on. I know Anderson. We've seen him fight.
Yep.
We've seen the work that he does, and I assume he's just gonna go in there and fucking piece him up.
This seems like even less competitive than an MMA fight would be.
Much less.
Right.
I just feel like Chael at some point is just going to do like the fucking Dylan Danis thing where he's going to be trying to do some takedowns because he's getting worked
I love his
there.
Promotion for it, right? It's like putting the rocks in the gloves and saying he's going to cheat.
Brilliant. And they knocked the thing down. It was perfect.
I love it.
That's so, Chael. That's what you get from Chael, but when the fight starts, it's a whole different game. Like nobody's going to sell the fight
and bring
it better.
He literally can't win this fight, right? He literally can't.
Unless Anderson just hasn't done unless Anderson has decided like I'm not going to prepare for this
anymore.
I'm done training. I'm just like I don't need to train for him, and then goes in there and gets slept, you know, like I just don't see it happening. But I'm intrigued because I respect and I like both the guys.
Two beloved figures in the sport. If they go out there
fight?
And have some fun.
Like, you're going to go out and actually throw gloves at each other and try to hurt. I'm like, fuck, I'm there for it.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel the same way. I'm down for the entertainment side of it, but I'm not like, what the results of this fight are incredibly imperative to me.
Yeah,
like how does
Tank
play
is
out?
Fighting this weekend. Like, if it was competing against, like, Tank's fight or, like, a Canelo fight, like, if you're a boxing fan, do not watch this fight thinking like you're going to see the high-level boxing that you're going to would see if you watch like real boxers go in there and do it. But for us MMA folks, I think it's brilliant. I think it's awesome. I mean, they're both going to get some paychecks, and they're going to go out there and hopefully have some good fights. I mean, shit, we watched fucking Tito and fucking Chuck Liddell. Like, bro, this is a big step up from that. Like, this is leaps and bounds above that, you know. So
dude, why'd you have to bring that up? That was the one where I don't know if I've ever felt worse in my life watching something.
It
than
was
that.
Bad. I remember just covering that fight week, going to like the open workouts and stuff, and just thinking like, oh my god, somebody's gonna die. Like, somebody's literally gonna die in this fight.
Yeah, I think I don't know how serious to take what they're going to do, but it's two guys that I love. I was honored to cover their career. Obviously, with Chael, we still interact with quite a bit because he's around Bellator and PFL events. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, and I think that's the whole point of it. You know, like If they're willing, if they're willing to go out there, you're going to see them. I don't think either one of them is going to not try. Like,
right.
I just think that the skill difference that we've seen recently puts one above the other. But you know, Chael's going to go out there. I mean, hell,
the speed and movement of Anderson without having to worry about getting taken down.
Yeah,
come on,
it's pretty ridiculous.
Even at this age,
it's pretty ridiculous. I just you know, if Chael. We know what Chael has a very busy schedule, and Chael is very occupied in all these other things going. You just wonder how much time he's really been able to focus on training for this boxing.
No, he doesn't drink. He doesn't party. So that's a good thing. Like,
well, that's good.
So he's in good shape, but you're right.
But he's just in good shape, but it doesn't mean he's been training like for a real legit boxing
match. No, agreed. But, you know, there's some guys you're like, I don't even know if, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you'd worry about him getting in there. Yeah. I'm not worried about him getting in there.
No, not at all. It's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be fun. But, again, it's because it's two beloved fighters that I think people are just happy to see them still competing, you know. Because at some point, just like when I was joking about Jones, at some point, even these little fun little fights are going to be done. Like, this might be the last time you ever see him go into a cage, you know, or a ring to do anything. So, you know, if they're willing to put themselves on the line, I'm willing to put my eyeballs in front of the screen and watch it.
I like what you're saying. It's you soak it in, right? You're only going to see those guys are a part of history, man.
100%.
They are a huge part of history, both for their time together and their time separate. You know what I mean? They're parts of history in multiple ways. So I agree with you. If you get a chance to enjoy it. Well, how about in terms of crazy matchups? What about Mike Perry, Jake Paul? Does that one intrigue you?
I'm here for anything Perry wants to do. I mean, Jake has even won me over. Like, I respect the guy's hustle. I respect what he's been able to do. I respect, obviously, you know, his empire that he's built up. And the kid's been doing the work, man. Like, if people want to shit on him and say he hasn't done the work or that he's not, like, a legit boxer, I think there's a difference. When people say, like, whether you want to say he's a legit boxer, whether you want to say he's a high-level boxer, could be two different things. But the kid has done the work. I consider him a legit boxer. That's all the kid is focused on for, like, the past 3, 4, 5 years. Like, what threshold needs to be met for you to consider somebody a legit boxer?
I agree.
You know, all the time and money that he's put into it, and we've seen him go out there and fight. We've seen him do stuff. The kid can box, man. So
still not like, you know, when he says, like, you know, I'll beat Canelo. I'm like, come on, bro, calm down. No, you won't. But he's a legit boxer. Do I think he's a world champion boxer?
Yeah,
of course. We talk about that too, right? Like, you need to be a little bit, like, not realistic with yourself when you get in there in combat sports. But to say he's not a legitimate boxer, I think you're spot on. Like, do I think he's a world champion boxer? I do not.
Right.
Do I think he's a legitimate boxer? Yes, he is.
100%.
He's putting in the work and he's doing it.
And fucking Perry, man. Like, who doesn't love Mike Perry? I mean, like, I've loved him in his MMA days. I love what he's done in bare knuckle. I mean, and now you're going to put some gloves on him so he can maybe take some more damage. I mean, the kid's
He's probably too small. But he's going to make it a fight.
He's going to get slept, but he's going to make it a fight.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, that's what I think, too. It's another perfect pick from Jake Paul.
It's great.
Another perfect pick.
He understands that he could take a punch, you know, and so he leaves his chin out there. I mean, he's up there because he's willing to stand in the middle and throw. But he's going against a bigger dude with a bigger reach who's going to come and just bring that shit. We've seen that fucking hook knock dudes out.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Like, Perry can take some of those, but, I mean, at some point it's gonna wilt him, you know. It's just the size difference is just too big, and he's taking a lot of damage. Kid's been fighting a lot for a long time, you know. So, I mean, good on him if, you know, it could be a big paycheck. But, I mean, I would lean Paul on that one all day long.
Me too. But I like Perry to get the paycheck, though.
Yeah.
Did you keep watching Ultimate Fighter? Have you seen
I did not. I forgot to watch the episode yesterday, so I need to catch up on it.
Episode 2, definitely worth watching. Robert Valentin is an absolute savage. The guy that wins is a slight psychopath. It's talking about sacrificing blood for the gods and, you know, Valhalla and Odin and all that stuff.
Kind of guy that probably waterboards himself as a hobby as for fun.
Nobody would do that, would they?
One of those type guys.
I just had to know what waterboarding was like. Was that the tweet that he sent out?
Yeah, something along those lines. I was like, bro, fucking find a real – find a, like a non, like, death hobby. Like, what is wrong? Makes me feel like when I'm like – I could be – when every time I go upstairs and try to, like, play the bass or try to play music, I realize – I could just go downstairs and waterboard myself.
I wonder if Morgan will come over and waterboard me for a little bit.
Tie my hands up so I really can't fight against this. I want the real experience, and then let's just waterboard for fun. I mean, I guess if it's one of those questions, those nagging questions, like you wonder – it's funny because he actually brought – one of his responses was like, you think you can just, like, take slow breath and breathe in or whatever. And those are thoughts I've actually had before. Like, I bet you could kind of fake it a little bit. He's like, no, you can't. You literally feel like you're drowning. So I'm like, all right, cool. Now I have an answer from a person I trust. I don't need to do that myself.
I know he'll shoot straight with me.
He'll shoot it straight. Yeah. He's not going to sugarcoat it. So you know what? I have no need now to waterboard myself.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, that dude, he's crazy.
Sean Strickland is crazy. There's no question about it. So, anyway, Ultimate Fighter, it was a good episode. If you're not a big tough watcher, I don't know. I thought it was a good episode. I showed a lot of the training. Showed a lot of Valentina's training, which I like a lot. Yeah. I like seeing it's. I was thinking about that as I was watching the episode, right? Like, I'm sure the producers – I mean, I'm sure we're the minority that we want to watch the training. Like, I want to watch the training and the coaching. You know what I mean? But I'm sure most people just want to watch, like, drama. Right?
And there's, but if there's no drama.
There's no drama, which, I mean, I think at this point there's less and less drama because these people understand what the opportunity is that's in front of them, right? So they don't want to have drama.
You're not going to have that just let me bang, bro, moments in the shit in the house where people are just going fucking crazy.
You can't knock me out. You cannot free
throwing
shot.
Shit into the pool and doing all the other kind of shit, like – I think those days are gone.
I agree. I don't think you're going to see much of
that
anymore.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Like, it was jarring and shocking at one point. Now, even if you did it, it would feel forced, and it would just be like, oh, you're going back to that? You're going back to that well? Like, bro, how about just give a crazy fight instead?
Yeah.
You know, or something.
100%. Yeah, it would feel like forced, right?
It would feel forced because we've already seen it, like, how many times? And it's just like through, you know, and – who knows? Because if you do it wrong and you don't, it doesn't come across, then it feels really forced. Then you're just like, all right, now you're just a cheese ball. Like,
yep.
I don't care to even watch your fight at this point. Or I'm going to watch just to root your opponent, whip your ass or something, you know? What I think now is it just, especially with like these coaches, I think I love the mindset that we've seen so far from these fighters. Like, they're taking 100% serious. You know, they're appreciating the training. And they're just treating it like this is my job opportunity. Like, I have a job application in front of me that I'm working through. And if I do it right, I have a chance of getting to my dream job, you know?
Yep.
So why fuck it up by something juvenile?
100%.
You know?
No, it was good. It was, you know, this spent a lot of time focusing on Valentina training again.
Training out in the desert,
training
I guess.
Training out in the desert.
Yeah.
The funniest part, and her team, and it was really cool. Her team was, like, really reacting well to it. They're like, man, we love this. And you could see that, like, she's – we always knew she was like a driven psychopath. You know what I mean? Like, she, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, she's just as dedicated.
Like a drill sergeant, very military type. 100%. I think one of the guys quoted that. I saw that in one of the highlights.
Yeah, she's always been that way, right? And you're getting to really see it. But it's funny because, they take him out of the desert. And they even say, like, we're not going hard. You know, we just want to breathe the fresh air and, you know, just connect with the energy and stuff. They're like, they picked up, she had him pick up rocks to use as, like, weights so they could shadow box with weights. But it's so funny because she's like, go ahead and grab some rocks here. She's like, just be careful with, like, spiders and scorpions and stuff. It's so funny. Dude.
Like, you might turn a rock and there's something living under
there. And it's true, right? Yeah. Because here in the desert, right, they're hiding from the heat. They get underneath that stuff. And I was like, that's so true. Like, you could very easily pick up a rock off the ground here in Vegas when you're out in the desert like that, and there's something on the other side of it you didn't want.
Good on her for letting them know,
you
know?
Just let you know.
She's like, you know, hey, just pick up a rock. I'm sure it'll be fine. Like, maybe I'll actually tell them to watch where they're grabbing. But, no, I did appreciate that, and I saw the clip about her training with the guys and them giving her a lot of respect of, like, you know, not, you know, going with the big guys and going hard, you know?
Yep.
I'm like, that's, I think, what we would expect 100%. From Valentina, 100%, you know. So that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I'll have to go through. Maybe tonight I'll pop it on there. And it just slipped on me because I got the email with the screener on Monday, and then I just spaced out on it. And then I meant to watch it yesterday. And then the next thing I know, it was like 7:30, and the clips are already started on Twitter. And I was like, oh, I missed it. And I was like, so I just shut it off, and I didn't really pay attention.
There
so, yeah,
go. It's a good episode.
Tonight.
The fight is quick. But it's a really good knockout, and I thought it was just a fun episode. So, a little bit of programming note, PFL does return. This is a PFL that you can watch, by the way, so that's all important to point that out. I mean, I hate to be mean to them because I like my friends at the PFL, but they got to get this global situation fixed where we can watch it. But it will be on ESPN and ESPN+. Main event, of course, Valentin Moldavsky, Linton Vassell. Got some history between those two that they're going to play out. Dakota Dicheva is back against Chelsea Hackett. Obviously, Dakota is kind of the star in the making that they've got her tagged there.
Yep.
Liz Carnoush is back as well. So, I mean, there's a couple of big names on the card, and it should be fun. So, put that on your programming notes for tomorrow night.
Who are you taking in that main event?
I think Moldavsky.
Yeah, that's where I went.
Yeah.
even though Vassell, his last one, I think I picked him, picked against him, and he ended up winning in that fight against, it was against Wodowski.
Yep.
So this is a rematch. Mm-hmm. I was like, who's the one that I didn't think he was going, and it was this one.
Yeah, it's a trilogy. Yeah. They're one and one.
Interesting.
I think.
Yeah, I immediately picked Moldavsky, thinking knowing he was a badass, but I forgot that he only lost to him.
Yeah, they've got some history. Yeah. They got some history between themselves.
Interesting.
Moldavsky,
yeah, this is the rubber match right here.
Oh my God, I pulled up the odds just to check it out. Moldavsky -325. So it seems like the odds makers are
crazy. That's a big one.
Yeah. I'm looking at DraftKings, but I'm actually on Best Fight Odds. That's where I always go to see. But I'm just looking at the first column, which is DraftKings. Dakota Dicheva -1800.
Wow. That's got to be one of the biggest.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest lines you'll ever see.
I mean, she brings the fight.
She's good.
I mean,
she's really
attractive.
Good.
I mean, like, they're literally hoping she becomes a superstar for him.
Absolutely.
You know.
And she's on the fast track. Oh, there's a big one over to UFC. So UFC, obviously the UFC is this weekend as well. That is on Saturday. UFC on ESPN 58, Perez versus Tyra. Normally, we would be sitting down and talking about Media Day. But a little curveball, right? Media Day is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And we think it's because they're doing contenders series contender stuff, right?
And it was like, because I know even yesterday when I was reaching out to one of the photogs, they said they were swamped, like, shooting contender stuff. And I think that's kind of what I was hearing. It was either contender series or something along those lines that they were shooting, that they had to push it because they needed to – they would be shooting all around the apex or whatever.
Right, so they're getting all that stuff done because contender series is about to start back up, man. I love Tuesday
nights. Oh, dude. I mean, it's as much as doing two different events in a week is crazy. It's such a fun little lift.
But you know what?
I think
this season is going to be the best one we've had in a couple years because the UFC is traveling more than they have been, right? Like, because before, you know, when it was strictly the Apex, you're right. We were doing like Monday weigh-ins Apex, Tuesday fights Apex, Wednesday media day Apex, Friday weigh-ins Apex, Saturday fights Apex, and it was a lot, right?
Yeah.
At least now, you know, you can go do your Monday weigh-ins, do your Tuesday fights, and then maybe the UFC event is actually somewhere else. You know what I mean? So you're not having to do everything for the entire 10-week season. So I think this week's going to be more fun because, you know, it's going to be a little bit more spaced out, I guess.
Yeah. It just made me nostalgic thinking you're saying that because we've, you know, done the weigh-ins for the Contender Series last year and stuff was always at the Palace Station.
Right.
But remember when it was at, like, the Homewood Suites when they were all stuck up in the COVID
days? Yeah, yeah.
We'd go in that little-ass hotel lobby, or whatever.
Yeah, that little tiny lobby area.
So ridiculous. Like, but it's – I'm literally having, like, nostalgic feelings about it because it was
weird,
just so cozy, quaint, but just, like, awkward because it was, like – they'd have security outside waiting to let us in. I was like, what are you holding me back for? Like, there's nobody but you guys inside and, like, the hotel lobby person. And I was like –
like, this hotel has been closed for months.
Yeah, it's just you running out the whole damn hotel. Like, and you know me. Like, can we just go inside and then walk in there and it's literally, like, three of us at max,
so
you know?
Funny. What a time, dude.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's funny. Sometimes when I meet people now, they're like, did you go to Abu Dhabi? Like, did you cover that? And I'm like, yeah, like all of it. You know what I mean? Like all that stuff. Just the whole time for that several years of everything that we dealt with, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Because even outside of where the little hotel lobby, they had the trailers for the COVID testing. So it was like a one-stop shop. It's like you go right in there. Take your COVID testing, get your clear, and then, like, boom, then you get your wristband, then you have to go, then you're able to go inside and do whatever.
So weird.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It feels like literally like a lifetime ago. It's just like, did this really happen? You know, it's like, I have these memories.
It's crazy. All right, so Media Day will be tomorrow. So if you're looking for Media Day or wondering why you didn't see any coverage of that, that's why.
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow, so pay attention to that. I'm sure you'll be there streaming.
So many main events. So main cards. Six fight main cards fucking kill me.
So you got 12 people at Media Day?
Yeah.
12 people at Media Day.
I'm just like, why? Why?
I will not be there tomorrow. I'm actually traveling first thing in the morning. I'm traveling out to Philadelphia. We do have CFFC 132 on Friday night. So if you want to put that on your calendars for some top-level MMA action, my man Renato Moicano will be with me on the call. But we got some really good fights on the card. We got two title fights, and then we got a flyweight featured fight that looks like it should be really good as well. The whole card's pretty stacked. And then the next night, we'll actually be doing CFFC Muay Thai 2. That'll be the second event that we've done of that, and that'll be streaming live on our OnlyFans. And Hanato Makana will be with me for that one as well. So we got that. So I will not be there for the media day tomorrow. But good fight in the main event, right?
I think
I mean, first of all, Alex Perez, he's got the little monkey off his shoulder, you know what I mean? He's, you know, man, it was hard for him to come to these media days and for everything that he had to deal with and all the stuff, the crap that he's been given over the years. You know, good for him. And then Tetsuro Taira, I mean, that's a guy that, I mean, I think you and I have both been very high on.
Yeah.
In fact, kind of wondering why he really wasn't getting the card placement that we thought he deserved. Some of that, we were told, was due to market and time change and, like, wanting him to be in a more applicable time for the fans over in Japan where he's from. But, man, he's getting the main event shine here. And this is intriguing, right, because to me, Tetsuro Taira looks like that guy to me. But this is a very, very real test, right? Like, this is a huge move up. And, you know, if Tyra can win this, I mean, he's just there now, right? You know, he's now his name's in there with all the other names at the top of the division. Like, there's no, like, sliding back. He's just in there, and you're starting to match him up with everybody.
Yep, 100%. Man, I feel bad for him. I mean, like, this kid's been at the apex, like, most of his UFC fights are at the apex. I'm like, poor guy, they're bringing him to the States for the apex fights. And I'm just like, can we give the dude like an international card? Can we at least send him somewhere over there? But yeah, I mean, he's comfortable in the apex. He's obviously doing great things. And this is a huge step, I think. And we've heard from plenty of people. I mean, like, as much as people want to shit on these apex cards and these fight night cards, getting the opportunity to headline any event for the UFC is a huge, huge deal.
Alex Perez
is legit. Yeah, if he can get through Alex Perez, who is another guy that's very, very talented and has a lot of forward potential, I think that's huge for Taira. I mean, I just wish, like, you know, after a win like this, you got to start putting this guy on pay-per-views in front of people so you can really reach that market. Because if you are really trying to break in and get more love from the Japanese market or any of the Asian market over there, you got to put him on a big event where people are paying attention.
Yep.
The hours for these events don't make any sense. Even the event that did switch around. At one point, we got emails saying it was going to be 1 o'clock
that's
start.
Weird, right?
Then they swap it back, and now it's back to a 4 o'clock start, 7 p.m. Eastern. And it's just like, okay, what's the? That's a big jump.
Yeah, main card starts at 10 Eastern. Yeah. I think that's one thing that we said. Look, you know, these Apex cards again. We're one of the few that likes it, but we've said a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's right down the street from our house.
Yeah.
Why we like it so much, but I would really like on these fight nights that aren't the big pay-per-views, like, just make them earlier in the day so people don't have to have their Saturday nights.
Let's go. First fight, 10 a.m. Let's just do it. Like, so, yeah, just knowing that I'm not going to get out of the Apex till like 11 o'clock or so, I'm just like, this sucks.
Did you pick Tyra? Or
I did pick Tyra.
Yeah.
I picked Tyra.
I would, too. I was just looking at the odds. I
forgot to tell you, I'm tied for backup. Tied for number one. Me and Bon are tied.
Last event,
I was the only person that picked Imavov.
Really?
Yeah. And I think he would have won that regardless of whether that early stoppage or not. The way that the trajectory was going on that, the way that that last round was going, he would have finished him.
I agree.
I mean, I give.
I know everybody's giving
all the credit. Like, he was standing up and he was right there and he was trying to engage. He was defending himself. I get it. That was an early stoppage. I just believe with more of those strikes coming the way that he was honing in right there, he would have finished him.
And the way he was, like, kind of just, you know, sliding around the cage, you know what I mean? Like, it did not look good.
It was scary. I mean, like, he was turning his back and it was just like this, like a sloppy runaway, whatever, and he was just taking more damage. You just felt like it was like almost one of those, like, delayed knockouts or something where somebody's just their body's moving on its own and then eventually it catches up, and you just felt like he was moving, but it was like the trajectory was going and it was going a particular way. Like, I didn't love
the moment of the stoppage.
Yeah.
I didn't love the – I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I was talking about this. I didn't love the moment of the stoppage.
It was bad.
But the
spirit
early. Of the stoppage, I completely understood. You know what I mean? Like,
and imagine how we were watching it and seeing those things. You're like, holy shit. Like, it's going that way. You're seeing Jared. But to be feet away from that, seeing that, and his job is to protect the fighter. It looked like it was going that way. I think he could admit that it was a bit early. But give it 30 more seconds, it probably would have been definitive. And I just wish we would have got those 30 seconds.
It's hard because, like, it's this weird line, right? Because this is a combat sport. I mean, this is violence at its core, right? But, like, the decisions we're asking the referees to make are not like, hey, man, let's watch that on a replay. Was he inbounds or out of bounds? You know what I mean? Where was the ball? It's like, you're trying to protect somebody from dying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I know is scary. I hate to say that, but it's the reality. And I think every now and then we have to get a reminder of that. Like, hey, man, we love the sport. We talk about the safety of it. We talk about the track record of it. We all believe that. You know what I mean? And we understand that everybody in here is signing up for what they signed up for.
Yep.
But don't forget at the end of the day what is actually at stake here. And maybe it was a little bit early, but like, and I see it a lot. And I know fighters will say, I'd rather you stop it late than stop me early. But it's like,
let me go out on my shield.
Yeah. Now you say that. Will you say that 10 years from now? You know what I mean? When things aren't working the right way and you knew it was happening because of that one night where, gosh, if they had just stepped in a couple punches earlier, maybe you'd have a few more years with your kids. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. So it's like
– It's tough because you get both sides. I mean, especially when a guy fights maybe twice a year and you just gave him an L, so they're taking half their pay
half
home.
Half their paycheck. Don't get the bump on the next one up.
And you're stepping back
in
terms of where you are in the division. It's tough. I mean, you want to be happy that – he was safe at the end of the fight. He wasn't on the ground. He wasn't face planted. He wasn't out. But at the same sense, I understand his upsetness for not being able to go out like that because of what was taken away from him by that. You know, it's tough because it's a no-win situation.
It is because now, like, I'm thinking about it's funny because as you're describing that, like, I'm thinking about this. Like, what if somebody walked up to me during the main event of CFFC 132 on Friday night and says, hey, by the way, you're done right now, and we're only giving you half your pay.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I can go.
I can keep going.
Like, no.
Nope.
Hey, this is for your own health and safety. You're looking a little tired out there. You maybe a little parched. Don't worry. Hey, trust me, bro. I'm doing this for you. But yeah, you're only getting half your pay. So have a great weekend. You know what I mean?
It sucks. I definitely feel for Jared. I mean, and he's a guy that you want for what he's done in the sport. I mean, this is not some newbie that – an amateur where they're like, we need to protect the amateur. This is a vet that's done what he knows. He knows what's going on. You know, he knows what he's able to do, and you feel like
– because I never –
you can't treat him at the same kid gloves as an amateur.
That is a really great point, to be honest with you. And it sounds weird, but it's a great point because I'll be honest with you. Like, when I'm at Tough Enough or, like, when I was at Fight League Atlantic or CFFC, we do amateur fights too.
Yeah.
I have zero problems with a quick trigger on an amateur, like
and
somebody making their
good.
Debut.
They're usually pretty good about it. Like, at least the ones I've attended Tough Enough, I think even when the last Tough Enough I went, there was a guy immediately when he was down and he was like, yes, he's gonna be knocked out in like three extra strikes.
Yep.
The ref stepped in. I was like, thank goodness.
Yeah.
They did the right thing.
They're not getting paid for this. Yeah. They got to go back to a job on Monday. You know what I mean? They're just getting started. They might figure out that this is not for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, they don't got to put it. But you're right. When somebody has made that commitment, they've committed their whole life to something. They've worked their ass off to get all the way to the top level.
You almost want a little extra leeway.
It's kind of funny, though. It's like we try, like, your brain doesn't know the difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's still brain damage, but it's like, it's just it's a hard spot.
Especially
man.
When guys come to after getting knocked out, and they're like, what happened? Because they don't remember. And you're like, oh shit, your brain was literally out at that point. But going back to originally why I brought it up, I was the only staffer that picked him.
Nice.
So that was one of the ones that came and I got back. And I think, who was the other one I picked? There was another one I ended up getting back. So I'm tied.
Let's go, baby. Let's get that
but
road
at one point
show.
Was six
let's
down.
Get the roadshow franchise dominance continues.
Dude, it's funny because there was that year that Simon Head pulled it. When I like to call it the asterisk year because I think he did half of it or whatever.
But he won by like percentage points or something.
Yeah.
Is that how he did it?
But if we didn't do that, I would have already had my I would already have three wins as opposed to two. And I remember there was one point because I never bring it up because not that I'm sour, but I'm sour. Erickson at one point was talking to the group because they said something, and he's like, "Yeah, if we didn't do the whatever," he's like, "Kenny would already had his third." I was like, "That's right." I was like, I'm glad you said it. I've always wanted to say it, but I don't want to feel like I'm just like bragging
especially
to the room.
Simon Head, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't want to take anything away from Simon Head. We love that guy.
But yeah, so I'm hoping, man. I want to be that first to get the that third win on there. First get the two win, and then if I get the third win, then it's just dynasty.
Dynasty
baby.
At that point, bro. Dynasty. That you throw my win in there, bro, and then Roadshow
Dynasty.
Roadshow Dynasty is in there, man. I love it. Co-main event here, Ikram Alaskarov, who a lot of people are very high on. I happen to be as well. -1200 on the late replacement with Antonio Trocoli. I'm happy to see Timmy Kwamba getting some shine. Timmy Kwamba, I actually commented his a couple fights in Tough Enough, and then he came over to CFFC as well. So I commentated the end of his amateur career and the beginning of his professional career. So
I picked him.
He looks so good. His hands are so good, man.
That's good.
I love seeing him, man.
I picked him on that one, so I'm hoping.
That's
I'm hoping.
Awesome. It's funny too because I mentioned that Chris Kalaitis got his win this past week. The last fight that Chris Kalaitis had before he stepped away, 2019, was actually against Asu Almabayev, who was
on the card.
Who was on the card? Yeah, so I talked to him. I was like, Chris, you ever look back? I was like, so the dude you lost to in 2019 is on a 15-fight win streak right now and in the UFC, undefeated in the UFC with a performance bonus. I'm like, does it make you feel a little bit better? He's like, I don't really look at things like that. I was like, oh, well, okay, I get it.
Well, but you could.
You should. I mean, you know, look, you think about it. But he's on the card as well. So, you know, overall, I was, you know, again, it's another one of those cards I think, should, you know, some fun matchups on
there. Some fun matchups. It's a big card, 13 fights, man.
Yeah, it's one of those cards that I just really would. Jimmy Flick versus Nate Maness could be fun. Joshua Van is on there against Tagir Ulyanbekov.
Yeah.
Josh Quinlan is back. I mean, so look, it's a fun card.
Julia Pilastri. Yes. Love her.
I just wish this was happening earlier in the day.
So do I. But it'll be fun. It'd be fun. I mean, even the Shailen Nurdin-Beckett, that's the first fight, too. I mean, dude, it's a good card.
Yep.
It's a good card. It's a very international heavy card.
Yeah, that could be crazy. Shailen Nurdin-Beckett and Bilal
Kuzmakov. That's the start. That fight right there can be nuts. And that's starting the night off. It's going to be a good card. It's going to be a good card.
Chapo's back. Miles John. It's Douglas Silva de Andrade, who's always – Douglas Silva de Andrade is like always
he's
crazy
psycho.
Fights, man. He is
– he's fucking psycho.
He's a little nutcase. So I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, listen – one more heartfelt apology to everybody over at Patreon. I appreciate Mark Fellows reaching out. It sounds like he was worried about me. I appreciate it.
He was. He was like, yo, is JM okay or something like that?
I'm not
gonna
lie.
I forget how he phrased it.
I dealt with a little bit of, I don't want to say depression, but I was like really sad.
It happens.
So I was upset. It got to me. It mattered. We're going to figure it out. We're
going to
get with the production, with the whole team. We'll have a staff meeting. We'll take, we'll get that
we'll
email
rent out
circuit
someplace,
around.
You know.
We'll have to find a hall big enough to keep on. We don't normally have all the staff in one place.
I know.
You know what I mean? Well,
I don't know when the last time we got them all together.
I guess we'll just have to bite the bullet on the travel costs, bringing everybody in from around the globe. But
yeah.
I mean, this is a.
Thank God for that Patreon. See what you guys help. See what you help.
We will figure it out. And so anyway, I appreciate everybody that was concerned. I do offer my apologies one last time. We do very much appreciate you for supporting us. After this week, it will not be a problem for a good 6 weeks. So. We'll take care of that. International Fight Week. Olberg versus Hill. Okay. We'll see how that plays out. Saudi Arabia next week. That should be a hell of a card. We look forward to talking about that. We're not making a trip over there, but we'll certainly talk about
goodness.
It. And that will be an early morning card, which I'm looking forward to. Maybe we get together and
I'm down.
Watch a little bit. Have a little Frosty Beverage or two on a Saturday afternoon.
Ooh.
Well, you don't really do that much anymore.
I know, but I could watch you. I might have one. I mean, when that Hulk Hogan beer comes out, the real American beer, can you believe? I actually called when I read that story from USA Today, said that Hulk Hogan, what's his name? Terry
Bollea.
Bollea came out with a real American beer and was like, Terry Bollea, known as whatever, Hulk Hogan has this real American beer. I was like, oh, we're going to try that. And it said that it was listed four states and it said there were 13 other ones that were not listed yet. But it said, like, this place, Albertsons, yada, yada, and it said Total Wine and More. And I said, well, we got Total Wine and More here.
Yes, we do.
So I found one that's, like, not far, like, over in Henderson. I gave him a ring. I was like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but Hulk Hogan has a beer that's coming out soon. I was like, will you guys have it? And he's like, I know it's not on our current order list, but he's like, I do see that I am accepted to get it. So he's like, we will get it at some point. And I was like, all right, well, I'll give you a call. I was like, I'll give you a call in 2 weeks. He's like, I think that sounds good.
All right.
So
we'll definitely.
So breaking news for those of you that were wondering if it's going to be in Nevada, it looks like it's going to be in Nevada.
And we will let you know how it is.
Yeah, we're gonna,
we'll have a full
tasting. I'm sure it's going to be like a nice lager, like light little beer. I'm sure. Every European's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be American piss beer. You know, like, well, you know what? We're here for that. We're here for it.
Sorry. All right, we'll definitely check that out. All right, listen, I got to go get packed. I'm going to fly out early tomorrow. Check out Code Coffee for Media Day coverage. And like I said, CFFC 132 Friday night. Me and Moicano, if you could put that on your calendar. If you want to check out some Muay Thai on Saturday as well. Maybe throw that on a second screen in the background while you're watching a little UFC action as well. We certainly would appreciate it. But more than anything, of course, appreciate your patience with me and my schedule. And thanks for listening.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,